I'm here with Sal DeStefano. Sal, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on today. This is great.
Sal, you got your start. Where did you get your start in politics?
So, in government for the Boston Redevelopment Authority. I was there for 10 years under Mayor Menino and then later Mayor Walsh. I headed up what was called the Backstreets Program. So basically all the industrial for the city. I helped with everything from a business attraction, retention, zoning, issues within the neighborhood, you name it.
So during that time period, if I'm correct, South Boston and East Boston both underwent enormous transformation. I mean, crazy transformations from old world, low rise, decrepit. There's a lot of buildings that like this building, old school buildings that industrial sites that had, kind of lost their, just hadn't been utilized to their greatest thing. But the East Boston, I remember about 12 years ago, I went through East Boston, and I had never driven down this street. It was the East Boston, I don't know if it was East Boston going towards Chelsea. Mm-hmm. There was miles. It seemed like miles of abandoned waterfront. Sure. With old tin buildings that were all rusted and broken fences. Like we had an I-4C2 with, mm-hmm, the barbed wire along, sure, the top. But if you drive down there now, it's
a lot of change.
There's a ton of change. And then if you go towards the South Boston, Northern Ave waterfront, I delivered fish 7 days a week, sure, there, and it was low-rise, cinder block buildings, cobblestone streets with, fish guts ground into the streets. Sure. And now it's a vibrant, incredible place.
Sure. Yeah, you're definitely right. I used to live in East Boston, so I saw the change firsthand. And South Boston, when I moved to Boston in 98, they said, well, if you want a cheap place to rent, go to South Boston. $500 a month you could get an apartment. Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
There's change every day, and I really credit Mayor Menino for his vision in creating the first ever innovation district in South Boston, which included the areas that you're speaking about, but also the Marine Industrial Park.
Was it Marine Industrial Park? Was it like that? Did that kind of go over? Wasn't there
Fort Point Channel? Some areas of Fort Point. But basically, it was a sea of parking lots, as you remember as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And his vision was to change that and to attract investment. And, everything from hotels to restaurants, but also keeping the waterfront industrial and the Marine Industrial Park, which is home to over 300 businesses and is absolutely full. So it's a nice combination of industrial, also restaurants, hotels, apartments.
And they coexist.
Yeah, and they coexist. It's great there, but it's also driven up prices for rent.
So how did you protect those waterfront businesses?
So we were lucky that when I was at the BRA that we had the Marine Industrial Park as a set aside for the fish companies like Stavis Seafoods and North Coast and others, that they had a permanent home. But it took a lot of work with the BRA, City of Boston,
Massport
as well. Yep, they own the cruise port and Conley Terminal. So it's a lot of working together, but we did see a lot of residential conversion of those old industrial buildings that you talked about. So, it was definitely challenging, but I think the end result is they have a really good product there. But also, just like anything, with those positive changes, costs go up for doing business, and that's a challenge for the small guys. But, yeah, you're right. You drive down there, something new every day.
Yeah, so if – did those – so is there mitigation? So say they put up these, and I'm for change, and I'm, mm-hmm, for stuff, because I think they both can coexist.
Sure.
I think if you look back in history, the Gloucester House restaurant has been next to Fisherman's Wharf for generations, and they coexist, and there isn't riots. As you, sure, know, a lot of the anti-development people would tell you they can't coexist. But we've had a mixed-use waterfront.
Sure.
Beacon Marine, you know, the down on Rocky Neck, you have an artist colony where they work on industrial boats. They have the marine railways sure. down there, and you have residential. They coexist, and restaurants. They've coexisted for you know, I don't know if it's centuries. So I don't buy into that they can't coexist sure. thing. But I think that I agree that protecting you know, what you have, and you have a state fish pier that is dedicated sure. for fishing industry, mm-hmm. and you have the industrial waterfront along the inner harbor. I think that the creative ways to fill the upland portions of these properties with things that a small business can go to a bank and say, yeah, this is viable, and I'm not going to have to go through 15 years of you know, fighting with anti-development people that have 10 signatures and they can put my project off for 6 months, sure. you know, sure. with no cost to them, mm-hmm. but, you know, financing costs of $2 million, you know, of $250,000 in soft costs every time you have to go back to get a new plan to satisfy these people.
Sure.
Right? So anyway, to get off of that, I want to talk about your Twitter profile is Eastie Sailor.
Yes.
Where did that come from?
I moved from East Boston. So I lived there. My wife was born and raised in East Boston. But I was involved with Pierce Park Sailing Center, learned to sail, loved to sail. And just like you had said, there was a lot of change in East Boston. We lived in Jeffreys Point. And my in-laws used to tell stories. They're from Italy. And they said when they moved there in the late 60s, you could buy a three-family for $8,000. And I would tease my father-in-law and say, why don't you buy three of them? And he goes, we used to make a dollar an hour. You know?
All relative.
Exactly. It's all relative. But, you know, it was a great community there. In August, we moved just over the border in Rockport and High Street. Our kids do a lot of things in Gloucester. We're at the YMCA, Cape Ann YMCA all the time.
Do you still sail?
So I sailed out of Pierce Park Sailing Center. So looking forward to sailing out of Gloucester or Rockport. So I want to keep that up, and also want to teach the kids because it's great.
There's great programs, and they don't cost a lot. The Sail GHS program and the YMCA sailing program. Yeah. They just on the blog, they've been sending me the press releases. Very active and they're looking for kids to be involved.
Yes.
Like they this incredible program is there for the taking. Sure. And that's one of that's just another one of the cool things that we have in our city that a lot of other cities don't
have. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you talk about how special Gloucester is, you know, the feedback I got when I made the move from folks at the Boston Redevelopment Authority and City of Boston is just that Gloucester is a special place. You know, naturally beautiful. You know, everybody raves about the beaches, the people, the St. Peter's Fiesta, of course, and all the great things. And that it's a real city. The international folks that we brought up on the seafood show were commenting that Gloucester felt real. You know, still a real seaport town. They loved the flavor of it. They thought the people were very nice, naturally beautiful, like I said, and a great place. It's a real blessing to work here.
Speaking of the Boston Seafood Show, this year there was an unprecedented push by Gloucester, and you're a big part of that. Your office, yep. Community Development, was a big part of that, to put Gloucester back on the map on an international stage. I think a lot of times we look internally here, and can you tell me how that push started, and who are some of the key players, and what were some of the results? Because I know, my cousin Joe, who works at Stavis Seafood, he brought a couple guys back from the show to my sister's house for St. Joseph's from Mauritius Islands, which is the island past Madagascar. I mean, you couldn't imagine a further place away. And their feedback from them was just incredible.
Yeah, well, it was a real team effort. You know, the mayor had said, you know, one of her major things for her administration was jobs, economic development. She asked me to head up the economic development office, which is in community development. And one of the major themes was, you know, getting involved with the seafood show and making sure that that was a success. So I used to help run the Boston Redevelopment Authority booth at the seafood show for about 10 years. And I thought, you know, when I came up here, I said, why isn't Gloucester a part of this? And I found out we did it years ago, maybe 20 years ago, but we haven't for one reason or another. So in partnering with Gloucester Fishermen's Wives and Fisheries Commission, you know, we all sat down and we said, we need to do this. And thankfully, everybody pulled together. It was a great team effort. We also included a lot of the seafood companies here. We had a lot of volunteers and businesses.
Your wife was great because I follow her on Twitter and she was tweeting pictures to me that I got to use on the blog.
Oh, great!
And it was fantastic because I haven't gone to the seafood show for probably since we got out of the groundfish business, but I had gone for probably 10-15 years in a row.
Sure.
And every year I'd go, New Bedford had like an aisle. You know, like all these other cities had all these sure. things representing themselves. And I'm like, wait a second, Gloucester, we don't have, we're sure. not, how are we not a part of this? Is sure. you know, to the extent that we should be. And then this year, you guys blew it out of the water.
Well, we just, like I had said, a real team effort with the mayor's leadership to make sure that we were there and we all pulled together. What was great is we also had a partner in Snap Chef, which was a company that I met when I was in Boston, and he was kind enough to help us do a seafood, the redfish soup demonstration.
Yeah.
So we had the mayor and Angela Sanfilippo, you know, make the seafood soup, and everybody loved it, and it came from the heart. And here I thought I was going to be able to get great pictures. There were three rows of people that were there taking their own pictures. And so we had the seafood demonstration, the booth. We did two tours. Monday we did a tour of over 30 international VIPs that wanted to come up to see what we had, as well as economic development representatives from countries from around the world. And then Friday we had a Malaysian delegation that came, and they loved it. They raved about it.
I know they went away with the gift bags.
Yes.
Hey, we gave them the Good Morning Gloucester stickers. I know Fishermen's
Absolutely.
Wives gave them the fish, their cookbook, which is
Absolutely.
Everybody should own their cookbook. All kinds of awesome stuff.
We had the sea salt.
Atlantic Sea Salt Works.
Yep, Atlantic Salt Works. And, you know, as well as our information and brochure, but I felt like the heart of Gloucester really shone through at this event because everybody pulled together. And as you know, when one person does something, you get one person's effort. When everybody pulls together, combined, it's exponential.
Right.
And I can't say enough about the seafood companies that were here in Gloucester that donated fish for the presentation and the soup that was given out at our booth. There was always a line of people, and so many people said, this is the best thing at the show. And was great.
How cool is it that your mayor, feet on the ground, hand in the pot, like that kind of effort. You know what I mean? Like that's...
You don't see...
You're not just like sitting around.
Yeah.
You don't just make an appearance, take the picture and leave. Like hands on.
Absolutely.
Like stirring the pot.
She was...
To feed the people.
She literally had the fish in her hand and she was telling people, smell, smell. And everybody... Nobody was saying no. They were smelling the fish, and her point was saying fresh fish doesn't smell.
Right.
And everybody loved it. And I feel like that it was... It was great, and you know what's going to come out of this is the seeds that we planted and the things we did. We're going to see the benefits for years to come. Just today, later on today, we're hosting officials from the Mexican government, from their economic development arm called Pro Mexico, and they want to talk about you know, how we can work together, Gloucester and Mexico. We're also working on an ocean cluster and working with folks from Iceland and Scotland on that. So it's just amazing. You know, there was a little part of me when I proposed the tours that I was thinking, what if people don't care? What if they don't care enough to leave the show? What if, you know, all the what ifs? And I said, you know, we have to try. And bringing the busload of people up, you know, into the Gloucester House and having, you know, the mayor and all the city councilors line up and greet them. It was so wonderful, and everything, again, was from the heart.
The impact of absolutely. Them coming to the city and looking at the waterfront and the infrastructure and the boats and stuff like that. Okay, we got this here. Come on, let's go. Let's get
exactly.
going, right?
And I think what they saw was that, you know, in other cultures, that face-to-face is still very important. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of concern internationally about the safety of seafood. So they know that, and we were telling them, we catch under the toughest restrictions there are. So when they get our product, it's very safe, and it's the best, and it's the most fresh. The other thing is showing places where they can expand to. If they want a foothold in the U.S., why not put your business at in Gloucester? You know, whether it's I-4C2 or Fuller or... any of the private, you know, at the Blackburn Industrial Park, you know, there's a lot of options here, and I think we showed that we're friendly, we're open for business, as the mayor said, and the people were great, and we got rave reviews. The mayor got so many thank you emails personally afterwards, and people wanting to follow up, and we're sending them the pictures that we took. So all in all, a great team effort.
I'm going to change it up for just a little bit
sure.
and bring it to more local.
Yep.
We spoke a little bit earlier, and this hasn't gone out to anyone else. I don't think anyone of the media knows about this yet, and this is really exciting to me. And talk about bringing us into the next, you know, present day technology. See, click, fix. Tell us about this initiative that you're bringing here, and how I'm so excited because I'm a geek, I'm a nerd. You see what's in front of us? Sure. This technology with all the wires and the microphone and the iPad and everything else.
That's great.
This to me is I'm all excited. So see, click, fix. Explain what this is going to be.
So well, with you know, the mayor has been pushing the idea of innovation, innovate Gloucester. That's the pin that you have there, and it's what we're putting out there. Is the fishermen were the original innovators, 1632. You can't, if you don't catch one type of fish, you got to change up and catch another. With the seafood companies here and how they're innovating, you know, National Seafood and Gorton's, of course, they're always looking at how to sell their product and package their product and flavor their product in a way that to get ahead of the curve. So, you know, we're also innovating the way the city does business. And one of the things that is going to be rolled out soon is this thing called See, Click, Fix, which is going to be an app on your phone, on your smartphone, where you can take a picture of, you know, a pothole or something and, you know, send it up.
Broken signpost or something?
Yeah, something, you know, whatever you see that you think needs to be fixed, it will go right to DPW, and you can track it. And it's very cool technology. When I was in Boston, we rolled out something similar. They say a picture's worth a thousand words.
Oh, yeah.
So seeing something and being able to track it is something very cool. So we're going to roll that out soon, as well as view permit. You know, the mayor's been wanting to look at ways to improve permitting and
streamline it,
make it more friendly. So this is a piece of software that's going to allow you to view your permit online, track it, and maybe cut down some trips to Pond Road or City Hall.
Or both.
Or both, exactly. But these are ways that we're looking, you know, we're looking to get ahead of the curve. You know, there's talk about... You know, we're going to make some changes to our website or have a website that's economic development focused, so it's easy for a potential company to have all the information right in front of them, looking at possibly doing an app for the city of Gloucester. I mean, these are all things that the mayor is challenging everyone to think about new ideas and to put us at the forefront. You know, yes, we are America's oldest seaport. We absolutely need to respect our heritage. At the same time, it doesn't mean, you know, like what you're doing here with your show and your website, you're using high tech to talk about what's special here. And we need to do that because I'm just a big believer If you're not doing it, your competitors are. And I don't want to be the one sitting back and complaining that someone else got the business that we wanted.
Well, a lot of times, you know, I say that people building websites or whatever, this is just a like kind of a metaphor. Like, there's so much stuff out there, and a lot of times it doesn't cost a lot, and you just have to take advantage of it.
Right.
Right? And a lot of it doesn't cost a lot to implement, but, like, don't be afraid of it. Like, I think a lot of old school companies, like newspapers and even real estate agents, and they're stuck in this, you know, this is the way we've done it for 50 years. And, you know, and I've talked to some newspaper people, and I'm not talking about just, I'm not trying to single out the Gloucester Daily Times, it could be any newspaper. And it's like, say it's a 55-year-old reporter, and they're still using a flip phone. And I'm saying, you're in the, and I talk to them, I'm like, you are in the information business. Like, how do you not have a smartphone? You know, and they're kind of like, they're proud of it. They say it like it's a badge of honor. Like, oh, I don't have that kind of technology yet. Like, you know, I'm old school, whatever. I'm like, you know what? The kid that's doing something over there is eating your lunch if you're not doing
right.
it. You know what I mean? And yeah. it's right there for you. Same thing with real estate. Like, for a real estate agent doesn't own a smartphone,
you're dead.
You're like negligent. You're not. Your service to the person that you are serving is you're ineffective, you know?
You know, I totally agree.
Information
with you.
Is everything.
I feel like you know, there's a story of the last buggy whip maker. You know, the last one that survived is probably the best. And, you know, but if you don't change with the times, you're left behind. You know, when we toured Gorton's on our seafood show tour on the Monday that we brought everybody up, they said, you know, their original fish was salted cod. That's what they sold originally, you know, in the 1800s. If they would have never changed, they would have been out of business, of course. So they talked about always needing to innovate and change, because if you're not innovating and changing, you're dying. And it's true. I mean, look at the technology you're using today. You would probably have needed a full radio studio to do.
It's funny that you say that. Like, the app that I use to produce the show, it brings in the intro music, it fades it out when I press a certain button. At the end of this thing, I'm going to press a button. The podcast is going to be completely produced. I'm going to press another button. There's no wire that connects it to my PC. It's going to get set, but it's going to get wirelessly get sent to my PC and uploaded to the blog in a format that people can play anytime. I guarantee, if for this app that cost me $10, it's called Boss Jock, 10 years ago, I guarantee you a radio station, if you would have told them that it would compress an audio file into an MP3 file and shot it wirelessly to their and been able to be hosted online for free forever and indexed for free, they would have paid $10,000 for that.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, that's the point of Absolutely. Innovation. You know, innovate Gloucester. And what a great thing. You know, it's funny, like, Safathia, right?
Yeah.
Our mayor. She's so friendly to me, and I grew up with her, so I think of her as Mayor Thacken, right?
Sure.
And you don't, everybody looks at her, and, you know, she speaks from the heart and everything else. But she's talking about these innovate things. She's pushing these initiatives of C-click fix and online permitting stuff and clusters and stuff like that. It's pretty impressive for an Italian girl from the, you know, from down on Middle Street, grew up on Middle Street. I'm really proud of the things that she's doing. Even if she doesn't seek out mayor term next time around, she's got to be able to, you know, I think everybody could pat her on the back for really going after this stuff. You live in Rockport.
Sure.
I have to ask you this question because we can't go talking about Rockport without saying, have you been to Brothers Brew?
I have not
you
yet,
have
but
not.
I just saw that they were on Twitter. They just joined Twitter a couple days ago, and I'm like, I have to get over there. What's
They're the great. They make donuts.
Okay.
And they make the greatest donuts in the history of donuts. They're amazing. And
trying to lose weight. You're giving me like a donut place.
It's incredible, though.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys make bacon donuts. They're maple glazed with this thick cut bacon, and it's amazing. And so they joined Twitter, and they officially mentioned us, which was a huge day
That's
for
awesome.
Good Morning Gloucester.
That's awesome.
because we've won CBS Boston's Most Valuable Blog Award. We've won North Shore Magazine's Best Blog Award a couple of years in a row. I've never had such a huge day in my life. We passed 1 million views. We passed 10 million views. We passed 60 million views. Nothing compared to the magnitude of after pimping Brothers Brew Donut relentlessly on the podcast, like 15 podcasts in a row. They finally acknowledged us yesterday on the
Twitter. That's awesome.
It's kind of this ongoing joke. But you have to go there because you live in Rockport. You have to go check it out.
I'm going to go check it out.
You got to get the maple glazed bacon donut.
I'm going to write that down.
You got to write that down.
Maple glazed
Brothers Brew
bacon donut.
And what other thing I want you to notice when you're there, right next to there is the Shaolin Lu, right? And I want you to know, have in your mind that there were people in Rockport that fought desperately not to have the Shaolin Lu come to Rockport. And I like to mercilessly, really? I like to mercilessly mock those people. Wow. And they say, like,
every real estate listing always mentions a Shaolin Lu within Washington.
Right. But these are the same people that, fight the tool company in Rockport, being something happening, or I-4C2 in Gloucester, something happening.
But it speaks to change is tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. I get it. I was in, my wife and I were active in our neighborhood group in East Boston. And sometimes you get developers that aren't mindful of the community. So, what I would tell people, when they're coming to town is talk to folks. Don't try to go in under the radar. Don't try to pull a wool over their eyes. Talk to them. Introduce yourself. You're a real person. And listen to their concerns. And sometimes you can change your hours of operation, or you could change the way you do things and work together. I believe working together, that's the best way forward. Yeah, you're not going to please everyone, but if you try to do it the other way around, it backfires. The other thing I wanted to tell you about your blog is that thankfully we were able to find several great pictures for the Seafood Show booth from your website, and so many cool pictures. It was hard to choose, so thank you for...
Mark Ring is one of my favorite people. Yeah. He's one of our lobstermen, and he's the chairman of the Fisheries Commission. Yeah. And he said, Joe, they're looking for some photos. I says, here's my Flickr page. There's like 10,000 Gloucester photos there. So you worked. So how long ago was it the last time you worked in some capacity in Boston?
Yeah. So this past summer, July.
July. Okay. Yeah. So you must have known what's going on with the Olympics, because there's this push to bring the Olympics to Boston.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? I have my feelings about it. I don't know how y'all feel, because you probably had some. You would have had to done in your job description, your previous job description.
Sure.
You would have had to done some kind of mitigation.
It would definitely have been. So the BRA is definitely a part of that, and one of the areas that is potentially going to be impacted is a new market area. They were talking about putting a stadium in a place where there's quite a few industrial businesses. So, definitely there would have to been, a plan in place, whether it's relocation or buyouts there. All those discussions are in the works. I think Mayor Walsh is doing a good job in trying to engage the community, but there's a lot of people that are passionate about this topic, because it will undoubtedly change Boston.
This past week on the Browdy Report or something, Jim Browd, he had City Councilor Zakim and another guy, I forget his name, some Jewish name, but he said that they're trying to bring bills or something to that the city of Boston, the residents should be able to vote whether they even want it to come.
Right, referendum.
Yep. Referendum. And once they've gotten this far to try to get it here and they're acknowledged, it's be pretty hard to turn that ship, right? Isn't it like a huge ship that's got a head of steam going?
Yeah. I think the best thing you could do is a situation like this is engage the neighborhoods, especially ones that are going to be impacted the most, and really put the dollars and cents in front of them about the impact. But it's going to be really tough. I mean, it's just like the casino issue that happened.
Is there a way to roll in like the financial mess that the MBTA is in. Is there some way to roll in, okay, if we allow this to come, because we know there's going to be bazillion dollars floating around, is there a way to you know, because this winter, and I give a lot of the these places a pass, because this is unprecedented, right? Sure. Like the snow removal and everything. We never dealt with this. So how can you say this was handled terribly when they've never had these kind of challenges before? Sure. So, but at the same time, then the buck is to, well, we don't have the money to do this kind of thing. And then you're kind of like, you're skeptical because you're saying, okay, every time there's a crisis, does that mean you're looking for your department to get more money? Sure. So there's that balance. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's a way to, like, okay, maybe we can bail out our, because is that, do you, in your opinion, is that, is the MBTA and the money that they owe out in huge pensions or whatever it happens to be, is it fixable, or is it one of these things like Social Security where it's financially impossible to get out of the predicament that they're in?
Yeah, that's probably a question for the governor, but
I'm not trying to. But you can't get in trouble because you're local now. You don't have to worry about this stuff.
But what I do have to say is, I bet you anything that the decision makers that are involved are looking at things like MBTA and can this be something that can, you know, help
mitigate,
either mitigate or expand the T. You know, it's the T is a tool used by a lot of people to get, you know, to have some economic prosperity. And I know in East Boston, we were hoping for a connection of the Red Line to, you know, connect the blue to the Red Line, because it would connect us to the Harvard Square and everything that was going on there. Mm-hmm. So I think it's definitely one of the areas that they are looking at. And I think that the challenges the MBTA faced this year with the snow, it's hard to criticize them because it's just, like you said, unprecedented.
I agree, yeah.
The word unprecedented means...
Unprecedented.
Never happened
Never
before,
ever,
right?
Yeah.
So it's tough, but what I would hope at the end is when everything is said and done, everybody's spoken to, that the neighborhoods are engaged, the people that are going to be impacted the most, meaning the businesses and the residents, really know what they're looking at, and they have an opportunity to weigh in. And I know following the mayor on Twitter, Mayor Walsh has been going out to each of the neighborhoods and talking, and it's a polarizing issue, definitely. Mm. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's an old city with windy roads, a lot of one ways and stuff. It's not laid out like north and south, east and west, with these roads were laid out, you know, as geography dictated. Sure. They were laid out. Challenges in town, and things that I'm sure in community development are at the top of your list, I'm thinking, and in everybody's mind, Fuller School and I-4C too.
Sure.
What's the status of Fuller School right now? Sure. What can you say, is there interest in Fuller School becoming a private development? And where is the city's official stance on that? Where is that right now?
Well, you know, the mayor has, you know, it's definitely a priority for her to engage the city council in a workshop where we will talk about the present status of Fuller and what our options are to move it forward for an RFP.
There's been studies, right?
Yeah.
So what do the studies say?
Well, what needs to happen is an evaluation of where the market demand is today, 2015, and that will be done shortly, but also to talk about what the process is. I think with Fuller, you know, it can't be all things to all people. It's something that's out there that we need to do something with. And the mayor is committed to, you know, bringing this forward to an RFP that makes sense for the city. You know, it's not just going to be a situation where, okay, whoever throws the most money at it comes in, because as a community, you know, we face this in Boston. You don't want just anybody.
Yep, yep.
You're not going to take the top dollar amount. So there, so that's what, you know, what we're working on. And in April, we're hoping to have that workshop and get it to the point of where we could agree on getting it out. As you know, City Council voted to accept it as surplus. So that was the first step in the process of putting it out for RFP. But, you know, it's something that we should see what the market says. So the words RFP, request for proposal, for people who don't
know that term.
So request for proposal just means you put something out there to the developers of the world and you say, who's interested, and here's what, you know, some things we'd like to see. I see what the responses are.
What businesses and organizations have officially expressed interest so far?
So definitely...
Has Sam Park?
Yeah, so Sam Park with the YMCA has expressed interest. The YMCA put on a presentation. I don't want to speak for either organization, but they did put on a presentation where they were talking about the need for a new YMCA
and the importance. How about the fire department and the police department?
So that was the police and fire department were looking at potentially a joint public Central. Safety center building. You know, that is something that that they're working on. Ultimately, all these interests again go back to looking at what's the best thing for the city, mm-hmm. and each thing is going to be either something we're going to have to invest in or something we could potentially make money on. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. We're going to have to make a decision. But there's a lot of thought in the best way to go about this. But I think at the end of the day, putting it forward and seeing what the responses will be from the market will be a really good thing for Gloucester.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move from that to I-4C2, the current status.
So I-4C2, as you know, was RFP was put out in the past before. It might have been a little bit too restrictive to get the response, but, you know, Fuller is definitely the priority, but not too long after, you know, taking a look at reissuing an RFP for I-4C2 is something that would be really good as well. But, you know, in the meantime, we had a successful movie series last summer, and we're looking to repeat that again. So using it in the interim in ways that benefit the community is a great thing, but definitely putting that out.
Some people criticize that the city bought that. I am of the opinion for the money that actually came out of the city's coffers, the $800,000, mm-hmm. I think it was, and we got the match $750,000 from I don't know if it was from Seaport bond bill money, wherever else came, it wasn't city right. money. I have the opinion if it's just the way it is for $800,000, I'd love to see something happen.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong, I want to see something
right.
happen.
Right.
But for $800,000. That I think that was a steal for that piece of parcel, even if you didn't have the waterfront part,
sure.
because that has been, you know, that's different.
Sure.
The way when you look at the lot line, that square flat location, proximity to downtown and major arteries with the views, for $800,000, the person stole it. Right,
you know,
and it's on land, so you don't have to deal with piling issues or
exactly. Or, you know. No, I think you raise a very good point. Municipalities always struggle, you know, when they don't own a site and it's left, you know, derelict or unkept. You know, you can only find somebody so much, and when those situations happen, it's very difficult. And then municipalities try to buy it, and if you're dealing with a seller that you know is not willing to work with the city, it's a really difficult situation. So, you know, I'm glad that we own it and control it. But like you, I'd like to see something happen there. Mm. You know, the mayor's interested in seeing what would happen. Again, the benefit of the city. And I think it's a great opportunity for someone to come in here and do something great with it. Again, I'm in favor of getting things out there to just see what the response is. And I guarantee you that, it will garner some interest. So
it's an incredible spot. Yeah. It's an incredible spot.
It's beautiful.
I just want to mention I want to put in a plug for our local lobstermen. Sure. And no slight to our local groundfish fleet. But I think at last count, we had about 160 lobster boats. That means there's at least 160 captains. Mm-hmm. And, maybe half of those boats have mates. And at this present time, we only have about 7 draggers that can go fishing because of the shutdowns and stuff and gill netters. Sure. So I just want to remind people that there's still a fishing industry in Gloucester, and a big part of it right now is the lobster industry, because I think when people think, and I think a lot of politicians also think this way, that if a fisherman doesn't drag a net behind their boat, that they're not fishermen. Mm-hmm. But these lobstermen, that 170 lobster boats compared to 7 draggers that can go fishing right now, they are a big, huge part, a bigger portion of what the fishing industry is in this town, and the money that comes into this town, and they're paying the fuel guys still, they're paying the gear shops still, and the machine shops still, and the electronic maintenance guys for the electronics on their boats. So I know you deal a lot with the coalition and the groundfish industry, but I just want you to remember that there's 160 lobstermen, sure, tying up in 160 spots with backmen, and they're a big part of this the fishing industry as well. So
absolutely. I mean, just so you know, at the seafood show, we are pushing that. We're the biggest lobster port. I forgot what I don't bring the stats
in the state,
with me,
yep,
but yeah, in the state, because there was an article that came out before the seafood show that in China, there is huge demand for lobster, especially around Chinese New Year, and they were going up to Maine and they couldn't keep up with it. So we were pushing that when we brought the Malaysian delegation in. We went to Motolaro's and they actually gave samples of the lobster there.
Yeah, nice.
And we later had it at the Gloucester Fishermen's Wives just to show, there's nothing like the lobster that we catch here.
Yeah.
And they're very interested. So, point well taken. And as I told you when I pulled up and saw your sign, I said, I love lobster. So,
there you go.
So it's definitely, it's on our minds and on our radar. And again, with connecting to the international folks that were here, lobster was a huge, huge part of it. And we said, Why not get it here instead of Maine?
Sal, you have me completely inspired that there's hope. I already had hope. I know this Gloucester has been on an upswing for about 10-15 years.
You're
right,
the one
now
pushing it out there.
Well,
in Gloucester,
there's a bunch of folks too. Thank you for that. Sure. But like speaking to you and these initiatives, like the Sea Click Fix and the View Permit Online and the Seafood Show and the clusters and the, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of things to be happy for and hopeful for, and what you've brought to this city. I know you had a big job in Boston, and it's a bigger stage and everything like that, but I want you to know every person that I've spoken to, including the mayor, including Mark Ring, everybody that has done, worked with you, has said nothing but the highest praise for you, and said we are so fortunate to have Sal, and God help us, we need to keep him here. So
I appreciate it. It's been a blessing to be here, and like we talked about earlier, one thing I was really happy with is that everybody worked together on the seafood show. And And even down to Russell's florist, we went down to get a corsage for the mayor, and I think it was Eric that wouldn't take money for it. Mm-hmm. He said, "What you guys are doing is great." Okay. All the way to the seafood companies like Ocean Crest and Motolaro and Steve Conley and Case and Cape Seafood and other. Just people couldn't do enough. Mm-hmm. And I think all of this was here. We just needed to get together. Right. And I think when we all get together, we're unstoppable. And the future of Gloucester, in my opinion, is incredibly, incredibly bright. And I'm happy to be here and work with people like you and always, you know, my door is open. I'm at Pond Road, and appreciate being on the show.
There you go. For Sal DiStefano, Community Development, you are the man. Really happy to have you here, and thanks for all the insights. Thanks. Breaking news with C-Click Fix and the Brew Permit Online and all the stuff behind the scenes. Thanks, Sal.
Thank you.